In the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara had just brought two different sources as to why, in a year where there's two Adars, whether or not you do Adar Sheni, Adar Rishon, which one's the Iker month to do all the mitzvahs of Adar. So the Gemara brought two different psukim, two different reasons. One reason why Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel felt that you do it in the second Adar, you read Megillah Samech, Gula L'Gula, is better to juxtapose the Adar Purim, the Gula Purim, to the Gula Pesach. That was answer one. And answer two was, the Pasuk says Shenis, it says L'Kaimus, the Geras HaPurim HaZos HaShenis, so Shenis is a reference to the second Adar. So two different reasons brought. So the Gemara wants to know, it's Tzich L'Michtav, and remember the previous reason, I know you didn't see this yet, Harry, but Mesamech Gula Gula, Gemara wanted to know what was the source of that. The Pasuk says Bechol Shana V'Shana, every single year it should be the same. So just like every single year we had Adar next to Nisan, we had the two Gulas next to each other, so to even when there's two Adars, you should have the Purim, the Gula Purim, next to the Gula of Pesach. So the two different psukim, there's Bechol Shana V'Shana, and then there is also Hashenis. So Gemara wants to know, why do you need two different psukim? It says the Gemara, the very last two words of the page, Itzrich L'Michtav Hashenis, V'Itzrich L'Michtav, Itzrich L'Michtav Hashenis, V'Itzrich L'Michtav Bechol Shana V'Shana. You need both these psukim. Why? Dimi Bechol Shana V'Shana, if you just had the Pasuk Bechol Shana V'Shana, that every year is supposed to be the same, Havamina, I would have thought, Ki Kushan, like the question above, the previous opinion thought, well, just like every single year, it's always the month next to Shvat, would be this year also next to Shvat, meaning the first Adar, so therefore you need the Pasuk of Shenis to tell me, no, it's like every year that we keep it in the second month, in the month next to Nisan, Kamash Milan Hashenis. Now, V'itz Shminan Hashenis, if you just had the word Hashenis, the second, referring to the second month, Hava Mina B'tchila B'rishon of Hasheni, I would have thought you could do it in both months, both the first and the second month of Adar, Kamash Milan B'chol Shana V'Shana, that we do it once a year. You have to pick one of them. So Shenis tells me it's Dafka, the second Adar. So that's why you need both psukim of B'chol Shana V'Shana and of Hashenis. So I think Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who thought that you... in the year where there's 2 months, you're supposed to do all the mitzvahs during Adar Rishon. So what does Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi do with the words Hashenis? Doesn't Hashenis seem to indicate the second month? He doesn't learn it to teach the second month. So what does he do with it? So the Gemara says, my avilei, mi bailei lichad Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, namar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, betchila kavau b'shushan, ulvasol p'chal holam kulo. There were two stages in establishing the Simcha of Purim. Initially, they established it that only in Shushan, where the biggest miracle took place, that's where the Iker Simcha of Purim should take place. And only afterwards, Shenis, the second time around, did they establish that Purim should be celebrated throughout the world in all Jewish communities. And that's what Shenis refers to. Not Shenis in regards to the second month, but Shenis in regards to the second establishing of the Purim.
This is the year after Purim or the year of
I don't think that the Purim doesn't have, I don't think the years afterwards. I know when it comes to Hanukkah, it was different. It spoke about the year afterwards.
Right.
But I think in regards to Purim, it's in, even in the first year that they establish it, that we're going to have a second level of Purim that it's going to go throughout the entire world. So I think Gemara says, Amar of Shmuel bar Yehuda, Shalchu lehem Esther sent to the Chachamim, Kavuni Haldaros, establish for me a celebration, a day of Yom Tov, make up a Purim to celebrate the nace that happened to Klal Yisrael. So Shalchu la, the Chachamim responded back to Esther, Kina esimara, kina at mereres aleinu lebein haumos. Are you trying to instill some type of a jealousy among the nations against us that we came out? The nations wanted to kill us, and we were protected, and we defended ourselves through the nisim of Akadosh Baruch Hu. So you're trying to celebrate our victory? Well, what are the nations of the world going to say? Oh, look at the Jews; they're celebrating the victory against us. So shalchu lehem kvar ksuva ani al divrei yamim lemalchi madei pras. I'm not doing anything new. Look in the psukim that are written in divrei yamim. Divrei yamim delineates all of these stories that happened, that the Jews were victorious over the Umas Olam. So I'm not saying anything that doesn't exist. It's out there in the text. Look in the history books. It's there already. So I'm not adding anything new. So therefore, she got rid of that taina. So the Gemara then says, Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, these four are Kol Ki Agav Nezuga, Chulfu Rabbi Yochanan, Umal Rabbi Yonasan, throughout Shas, throughout Seder Moed in particular, actually. So when we have this group together, some people replace Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, it could be confusing. Pretty similar names, the way they're written. So either way, these four Rabbanim sent the following. They said the following. Shalchu lehem Esther l'chachamim. Esther sent off to the chachamim, Kisvuni l'doros. Write about me. Write about our story, l'doros. It should be part of the books of Tanakh. Shalchu la, they sent back there. Hello, kisafti l'cha, shlishim. I wrote for you already three times. What does it mean I wrote for you three times? It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Shlishim v'lo revayim. We only can mention, Rashi tells us Shlishim, what Shlishim refer to? Rashi, this is around seven narrow lines down. Shlishim, b'shloshim akomos yesh lanu lahazgir melchemes Amalek. There are three places in the Torah where we mention, or throughout Tanakh, I should say, that we mention melchemes Amalek. The Sefer ve'el shmos, right, in the shmos we mention it, b'mishna Torah and Devarim, u'b'sefer Shmuel, when the Shaul was told to wipe out Amalek. Those are the three places. That's when Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei that three times I mention it, but not four. So Chacham say we can't make a fourth time without a pasuk. So Ad Shematzah Lo Mikra, until they searched hard and found the pasuk that supported there can be a fourth mention of Amalek. What does the pasuk say? Kasav B'Torah, Kasav Zos Zikaron B'Sefer. That's the pasuk. Kasav Zos. What does that mean? Kasav Zos Mash Kasav Kan. Now, this pasuk is found in Sefer Shmos. So write what's written here in Sefer Shmos. That's one time it mentions Amalek. Then it says, Right here in the Torah, in two places, but it includes two places in the Torah, namely Sefer Shmos and Sefer Mishneh Torah, Sefer Devarim. That's where the words Kasav means. Kasav Zos means.
What do you mean again?
The Mishneh Torah. So what's written here, what the Sefer Shmos is talking about, what's written in the entire Torah. In fact, it's mentioned two times, but that where the words Kasav Zos,
it's like one.
It's exactly. It's included in, as one drasha only. Then the word Zikaron, Mash Kasav B'Nevim, referring to Sefer Shmuel. So then you have an available pasuk, b'sefer mashakos of Megillah. The word sefer is extra to make a drasha. Let's write a fourth place in the ksuvim. And that's the source, the pasuk that they dug up in order to have a source for writing Megillah's Esther. The Gemara says, you know, it's not so clear. It's really a
ketanah, yeah. What was the drasha? The previous drasha said it's only three?
Pasuk says, right, so that was a Mishlei. So I guess they're finding that the pasuk in Shmos is stronger than the pasuk in Mishlei. I'm not sure why they interpreted the word the pasuk in Mishlei to do with Amalek. Maybe that's the context. I don't know. I'm not. But Moatzos Vadas. I have no idea what the context is there. Okay. Exactly. So maybe over here they have some type of explanation here. So the Ritva asks that this pasuk in Mishnah has nothing to do with Amalek. So it's very, very peculiar that they're saying that this is referring to Amalek. So the Ritva has somewhat of an explanation here. It says, okay. So the Gemara says this discussion how to make a drush of the pasuk's cause of Zos Zikaron B'Sefer. That's really a ketanai. It's really a machlokas tanaim how to interpret these words. The Gemara explains that Kasav Zos, according to one opinion, means Mash Kasav Kan, what's written in Sefer Shmos alone. We're not including Devar Torah, Devarim, only what's in Shmos. And then the word Zikaron, Mash Kasav B'Mishnah Torah, it's a separate Joshua. And then B'Sefer, Mash Kasav B'Nevim, Devar Bishu, and the word Sefer comes to include Nevim. There's no available word to darshan a source for writing Megillas Esther. That's according to Rabbi Yeshua. Rebbe Lazar HaModai Omer, no, Kasav Zos, Mash Kasav Kan, U'B'Mishnah Torah, it's included in the same word. Zikaron Mashkasav B'Nevim, B'Sefer Mashkasav Megillah. That avails of what word B'Sefer to teach me that we can write Megillah. Now this is a very interesting machlokas, because what comes out here is there's a debate between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Elazar HaModai how to categorize Mishnah Torah. We typically know there's three Svarim, the three big sections of the Torah. There's Tanakh, there's Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Mishnah Torah is part of Torah. But there are a lot of indications that really it's Devarim, Sefer Devarim is Mishnah Torah, is a separate Sefer in its own right. So, one raya, the Gemara in Gittin, Tosos in Gittin, Beis Amin Aleph, says the Lashon of Get is a Gematria of 12. There has to be 12 lines when it comes to making a Get. You need to have written on 12 lines. Rabbeinu Tam wants to know why. So Rabbeinu Tam, I believe he says that since between each Sefer of the Chumash, between Bereshis and Shmos and Vayikra and Bamidbar, there are four lines, empty lines, four spaces. So that ends up being 4 times 3 is 12. Between Bereishis and Shmos is 1, Shmos and Vayikra is 2. He doesn't count between Bamidbar and Dvarim. Sounds like it's completely separate. Others say, no, it's really the 3 in 4 different places. Everyone includes all them. Why the 4 spaces? Because the first space is really part of the end of the parsha. That's not considered a space. Then there are 3 lines which serve as the space between them. That's 3 spaces between the 5 Svarim, which is 3, the 4 spaces between 5 Svarim. So 3 times 4 ends up being 12. So there's a machlokas there, whether or not you include Sefer Dvarim as part of the rest of the Torah. There are also other interesting nafkaminas as well. Okay, but that's what comes out of this Gemara here. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Esther ain't a metames yadayim. Esther, if a person touches Esther, the klaf is not metame esedayim. So Rashi explains here, what do you mean metame esedayim? What's the tum of svarim? So if you remember all the way back from
Gemara.
Exactly.
They should put food in there and a
clothes. Exactly. So that's what Rashi tells us, that Gemara and Shabbos ain't a metames yadayim. Kishar Svarim, just like other Sifrei Svarim HaKadoshim, that's from HaKadoshim, or Sifrei Kodesh. Damar B'Yitzias HaShabbos, Shegozer Aleim L'Tamei Sedayim, there goes there that anyone who touches the klaf is going to Mitamei Sedayim. L'Truma, they cannot eat Truma, U'machlokas Beishami Beisilei. So what was the situation? For whatever reason, they used to keep in their lockers, at the corner, would keep in their lockers, like food. You know, in Yeshiva Gedola, they have no living food in the cubbies. Any food that will be found in the cubbies will be removed. So the same thing, the Beis Mikdash used to leave their little snacks, their lunches, even though they're supposed to fast all week. They left their dinner when they're working the Beis Mikdash in their lockers. And they had also Sifrei Kodesh there. They used to have like a Megillah. They had like a Koheles or something they used to learn. So we have like Svarim in our cubbies and food. They had real klaf. So what happened was the mice and rats would come and eat the food, and then they would start ruining the Sifrei Kodesh. So they said, anybody who touches the klaf is metame yadayim. So a person's not going to put their food, the chuma food, in the lockers anymore, because the klaf is going to be metame the food, and there'll be no mice issues anymore. That was the best mousetrap that they felt. So the gozer metame yadayim. So the question is, what about Megillas Esther? Is this going to be included in that initial gzeira of being metame yadayim? So the first opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says Esther is not metame sedayim. Now, but this is a very halach l'maisa as well. For us, okay, it doesn't make a difference, metame yadayim, we don't have chuma, none one's a kohen here anyways. But it's l'maisa, the Ramat says, that a person should not touch the klaf of, just like we have a hamina, else if it's falling or something to pull it up. What about other svarim? So Ramat says the best thing to do is not to touch any klaf at all, even the klaf of Megillah. Well, Megillah, well, you have to really hold, if you have your own Megillah, you have to carry it out. So you're really supposed to wash your hands before touching the klaf. I remember once I was showing Rav Shechter mezuzah of mine, which I thought was puzzle. So I was showing it to him, and he's like, you know, looking at it, like not like touching it, like just like that. And I'm like, why is he doing that? So afterwards I realized, I learned the halacha. At some point afterwards I realized that he wouldn't touch the klaf because he hadn't washed his hands. So anyways, that's what it means for us. Person, when it comes to Megillas Esther, according to the first Ma'an Damar, it's not metame yadayim. One would not need to wash the hands. The Gemara now says, Lememer, is this to say, Disavar Shmuel, Esther la Berucha Kodesh Emra? So is this to say that Shmuel, since Shmuel holds, it's not metame your hands, does that mean to say that Esther was not ridden with Ruach HaKodesh? V'hamar Shmuel, Esther Berucha Kodesh Nemra. Shmuel, as we'll see later on, exactly how Shmuel knew this, but Shmuel later on is going to tell us that it was ridden with Ruach HaKodesh, so it therefore should be metame yadayim. The Gemara says, no, it was Nemra Likros v'lo Nemra Lichtov. Very confusing line. It was said the Ruach HaKodesh in respect to saying the Megillah, but not in writing the Megillah. So the words, so Tos has a whole long discussion here. Does that mean to say a person could say it Baal Peh, you could recite it Baal Peh, or even Torah Shmuchsav? Oh, we should open it. Oh, forgot about you, sorry.
Yeah, a little try.
Were you knocking?
Sorry.
Oh, no, I saw you get up. I forgot Adam said he's coming. Sorry, Adam. So you get for coming 20 minutes late. So Gemara has this very cryptic line where Esther was said the Ruach HaKodesh with respect to reciting the Megillah, not with respect to writing the Megillah. Saying it, but not writing it. So big discussion what exactly that means. What do you mean it was said? So it sounds like the Tos has a whole long discussion. Does that mean you could say Megillah Esther Baal Peh? Because it was only passed on to recite the Megillah, but not to write the Megillah. So Tos has this discussion about that. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Meisive, is it really true that Esther is not Mitami Adayim? We're now two medium-wide lines down. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Omer,
just,
yeah.
Sorry, it's just hard to understand because, you know, the whole thing is, she said that they should write, but so it's much more than anything else that they should write it, you know, because she said...
That was her request.
That was her request.
And the Gemara in Yuma also says, remember, that it was Nitna the Kasev. Tosus talks about that also. So, yeah. So Tosus ends up having this answer about, you know, certainly it was meant to be written. Question is, look at the last lines of Tosus. See? Exactly. From Tirtai Rav Chanan, from him. He says, He says, you have to have various dinim. Like, it's more like a Sefer Torah. That's what it means when it was supposed to be written. So different levels how something could be written. Does it have to have the Gidin, the Sirta, which is the lines in it? So there's a very interesting discussion. Erev Soloveitchik has a whole big discussion that in certain respects we find that the Megillah is more like an Igeris, like a letter. In certain respects we find it more like a Torah, like a Sefer Kodesh. So there are back. So it is a bit of a gray area how to categorize and which halacha applies to the Ksiva aspect. So this line alone is very strange. That was Nemar Likros, but Lo Nemar Likhtov. But again, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim, how to interpret this line. So the Gemara now says, is it really true that Esther is not Mitami Adayim? So the Gemara says, Rebbe Meir Omer, Kohelas Eina Mitami Adayim, but Machlokas Bishir Ashir. Everybody agrees, according to Rebbe Meir, that Kohelas is not Mitami Adayim, but Bishir Ashir, there's a debate whether it is or is not. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shia Shirim, Mitami Yadayim. No, everyone agrees Shia Shirim is Mitami Yadayim. Macholkas B'Kohelas, there's only a debate whether Kohelas is Mitami Yadayim or not. Third opinion is, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kohelas, Mikuli Beishami, Mechumer Beisilo. Kohelas is one of the examples that Beishami is Mekel, where it's not Mitami Yadayim, and Beisilo is Machmir. About Rus, Shia Shirim, the Esther, Mitami Yadayim, but these three Megillas are Mitami Yadayim. And now, I guess obviously, no one thinks that Eicha is going to be Matami Adayim. Everyone agrees it is, I guess, probably, that it is Matami Adayim, because it's written by Yirmiyahu. So, but that's not part of the discussion here. The other Megillas are discussed here. So either way, we see a big discussion here. So Gemara says, Hu d'amar ki Rabbi Yeshua. He holds like Rabbi Yeshua that says we were not allowed to write it. Aha. So we see a whole big discussion whether it's Matami Adayim. But above, Shmuel said, it's not Mitami Adayim. So Shmuel must hold like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua felt, remember the pasuk above, there was no pasuk available to teach us you could write Megillas Esther. So since there's no source, you could write Megillas Esther. So Mestama, he holds, that's not Mitami Adayim as well. And that's where Shmuel was coming from. But according to others who think that, no, there is basis to be writing Megillas Esther, then there's room for a debate, or even everyone would agree that Esther is Mitami Adayim. Okay, now the Gemara quotes the Braisa, that Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Kohelas ain't a Matami Adayim, b'pnei shechachmaso shel Shlomo here. Because why would Kohelas be Matami Adayim? It was Shlomo was the smartest man, so it was all his own chachma. It wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, it was pure chachma. So when a person writes a textbook, you know, obviously Lahavdil, it's not quite a textbook, but if a person writes all his knowledge down, that's not going to be Matami Adayim. That's the wisdom, yeah.
Here it explains that the reason why you shouldn't be writing Esther is because the mitzvah is on. That's according to the Mandi Amar the mention of Amalek and Shmos and Dvarim,
right,
is two separate ones.
Exactly. That's I was explaining that. I thought I meant if I didn't say that, I wasn't clear enough. But right, according to him, when they're two separate ones, the word Sefer is not available to teach
right.
me that there's a source. So there's no source throughout Megillah. So once there's no source, it's not Mitami Adayim. So then the Gemara again says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Asya Omer, Kohelas ain't a Matami Adayim, b'pnei shechachmaso shel Shlomo hi. The reason why Kohelas is not Matami Adayim because it was purely Shlomo HaMelech's own intellect and his knowledge, his own wisdom. Amrulo, so the response back to Rabbi Shimon ben Asya is, V'chizu b'var amar, did he only say this? Meaning, what's written in Kohelas, that's all his wisdom? No, Shlomo HaMelech was much smarter than that. Halok far nemar v'idaveh shlosha alfin mashal. He said 3,000 mashal. And now that's more than what exists in Kohelas. So clearly there's more than more knowledge than what was in Kohelas. If Omer, furthermore, it says, Al Tosif Al Dvarav, and Hashem says to Shlomo, that's enough, don't write any more. So it sounds like, why did Shlomo write just what he wrote in Kohelas? If he knew a lot more, he should have wrote a bigger textbook, if he will. So the point is, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Ruach HaKodesh to tell him which what part of his wisdom should he record in the Sefer, in this Sefer Kwelis? That tells us that there was Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. So the Gemara...
It's strange, because then what would it be mentioned? What would be part of Ksuvim, of Nevi'im?
Why would it not... Why would it not be part of Nevi'im?
Ruach HaKodesh, it has no Kedusha. I mean, you only put in part of the Tanakh
So that could be a different question of... So why is it part of Tanakh if it's not Metam Yadayim? So it's possible that if you hold it's not Metam Yadayim, maybe you wouldn't put it part of Tanakh. Maybe it wouldn't be part of it. Remember, there were other Svarim, by the way, that were considered as being part of the 24 Svarim of Tanakh, but they ended up being knocked out. It wasn't so clear why they were.
Yeah, there is a whole...
Right. So it's possible Kelas would have been knocked out had it not been... We not learned it was Ruach HaKodesh Nemar.
One calls it Apocrypha.
Yeah?
Like that.
So those Svarim could have been replacing Kelas. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Alok Kfar Nemar Vaidaber. This is around halfway down in Rashi's. Koheles Kfar Nemar. Since Shlomo didn't write all 3,000 mashals that he could think of and more, since he didn't write it, Limata Shema Shekasav Ruach Kodesh Haya, that which he chose to write must in the Ruach HaKodesh. Shekash Baruch Hu gave Ruach HaKodesh which ones to write, which ones not to write. That's from the first pasuk. And then Al Tosav Al Devarav, so that tells us that also Shekash Baruch Hu says to Shlomo, okay, you wrote enough. Seemed like he acknowledged, he accepted what Shlomo wrote as being good. So that was the Ruach HaKodesh Namra. So Gemara says, "My Omer." Whenever the pasuk, whenever Reiser brings two different pasukim, we always ask, "Why do you need a second pasuk?" It sounds like the first pasuk had a certain deficiency. The Chitaim, the Gemara explains, if you wanted to say from the first pasuk alone, "Meimer Tuva Amar Dibar Achtiv V'Dibar Lo Achtiv," so maybe he had a lot of things to say, but he chose what he wanted to write. He chose what he didn't want to write. So Rashi says. Maybe still, maybe Shlomo HaMelech on his own choose which he thought was best. You know, just like a person writes a book, he writes several drafts. He writes a very long draft and wants to choose what to keep in the book, what not to keep in the book. Maybe Shlomo HaMelech did the same thing. It's not necessarily that he had Ruach HaKodesh. Therefore, you need the second pasuk, Tashma, Al Tosav Al Dvarav. Akash Baruch Hu says, don't add any further. That was Akash Baruch Hu's stamp of approval. What you wrote was okay. It was because I gave you Ruach HaKodesh, and don't write anymore. So we see from here that Kohelis was, in fact, according to the Chachamim at least, it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore it should be Metame Yadayim. Now the Gemara is about to bring a number of different proofs how we know that Megillas Esther was, in fact, written by Ruach HaKodesh. Gemara says, Tane Rabbi Eliezer Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. How do I know? Shenemar Vayomer Haman Bilibo. So this is when Ahasuerus had Haman come in and says to Haman, what should I do with the person who I never gave back a great reward for? Haman thought in his own heart, it must have been me. Who was greater than me in the entire kingdom of Ahasuerus? So he said, make him wear the clothing of the king and ride the horse to go around the whole city. So how did we know what was Bilibo? How do we know what was in Haman's mind? Must be Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Rabbi Kiva Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. How do I know? Shenemar Vati Esther Nasis Chaim Be'enai Kol Re'a. Because everyone liked Esther. How do we know what everybody thought about her? Must be Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Rabbi Meir Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. How does Rabbi Meir know this? Shenemar V'yoda Hadavar LeMordechai. And it was known to Mordechai. How do we know it was known to Mordechai? Mordechai never said he was talking about Bigson Maseresh. He heard the conversation. He heard what was going on. And the pasuk says, and it was aware. Mordechai became aware what was going on. How do we know? Did Mordechai ever say to us that's what he knew was going on? Must be Ruach HaKodesh. Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis Omer, Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra, Shenemar Uviviza Lo Shalcho Es Yadam. When all the fighting took place, none of the members of Klai Yisrael took any of the spoils of war. How do they know? There were hundreds, thousands of people throughout the countries. How do they know? No, not one person took. Remember the stories of Achan. Achan stole from the wars in Eretz Yisrael and stole from the wars of the Midbar.
So the shaila that what's the raya the fact that Mordechai got it through Nebuah, it doesn't mean that, it means that he was a Navi, but it doesn't mean that Esther was written in.
But how does the person who wrote Esther, who that was?
Because it's part of the story. So according to one of the Mandama, there's no answer.
Uh-huh.
But the other one is that he was such an anav that he would have never mentioned it.
Okay.
That he got Nebuah. So.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that it mentions it proves that he knew, because Mordechai would have never
mentioned it. We would not have known that. Right. All right. Okay. Who says that?
Right. יש דברים שכוונת רבי מאיר היא להוכיח שהמגילה נכתבה ברוח הקודש ממה שרמז בא מרדכי הצדיק שנדל לו ברוח הקודש כי יש להניח שמה לנאמרו לו ברוח הקודש לפתוח כן היה מסתיר את הדבר מתוך ענוותו זה יריות דבש
Okay, so that's Yonatan Eibschitz. Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a few different psukim that indicate that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. Mara says, Amar Shmuel now. Shmuel says, remember Shmuel was the one above who says that Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. So now Shmuel tells us how he thought it was Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Ehavi Hasim, had I been there with these the other Tanaim, who he wasn't though, he was in Amora, I would have said, Amina Milsa Da'adifa Mikula, I would have said better than all of them. I would have said, Shenemar, Kimu v'kiblu, the Pasuk says. We know the famous line, Kimu l'mala masha kiblu l'mata. They accepted above b'shamayim what we accepted down below. Well, how in the world do we know what was accepted l'mala? Must have been there's Ruach HaKodesh Nemar. Very good proof. So Amar Rava, l'chula islay pircha, all the previous Tanaim had a question on their proof, levar mi d'shmul, except for Shmuel. Shmuel, but d'lesay pircha, he had no question. There's no flaw in his source. Rabbi Eliezer, svaru hu d'lohavi inish t'chash l'malka k'vaseh. According to Rabbi Elazar, who thought that, how does he know? Because Haman thought in his libo that he was the one who's going to be chosen. Because it was pretty, that wasn't based on Ruach HaKodesh, it was pretty logical. Haman was a pretty big Baal Gaiva, so he thought that nobody else was greater than him in the kingdom. V'hai ki kamaf eshuva, and the fact that he spoke so much to do this for the person, do that for the person, he's going on and on and on about a person. V'amar dait to the nafshi kamar, it must have been he was talking about himself. Otherwise, Haman wouldn't have said to do so many good things for somebody other than himself. So it must be he was referring to really himself. So that was really pure svara, pure logic. Now Rabbi Kiva, Dilma, and Kiva, who thought the raya was from the fact that everyone liked Esther, that Nasachain Bein Neke Korea, Rabbi Kiva says, Dilma, the question against Rabbi Kiva rather is, Dilma Krabi Elezer, Damar Melamed Shekol Echad V'Echad, Nidmis Alo Kumaso. Esther had this very unique appearance, and she didn't look like she was Jewish. She looked like she somehow fit into every single country. Oh, you must be Persian, or you must be Syrian, you must be whatever it was from. So everyone like, oh, she must be one of us. So you kind of stick together with people of your nation, the nationality. So that's why everybody liked it. That was also from this idea of not Ruach Kodesh, but logic. If had the Rabbi Meir, who brought the pasuk of it was known to Mordechai what was Bigson and Maseresh talking about, it wasn't Ruach Kodesh. There were two Tarshayim, and Mordechai knew all the 70 languages of the world, so that's why he knew. He knows how to speak, he knows how to listen, so that's it was pretty obvious he knew what was going on. And then Vahad Rabbi Yossi Bar Dumaskis, who brought the pasuk from that nobody took any of the spoils of war, how did they know? Even the people who lived in far countries, how do we know they didn't take any of the spoils? Well, Dilma Pristaki Shadr, maybe it was a Pristaki, so Rashi says, Pristaki Shadr, this is towards 10 lines from the bottom, Shluchim Shalchulahem, they sent messengers, the Mordechai v'Esther, Shalom Nagu Bibiza, Shalom Yaru L'melech. So they want, everyone sent messengers, nobody took from the spoils of the war, they didn't want to anger the king, so because they got all these messengers sent to the back reports, they knew that nobody took, and it wasn't because Ruach HaKodesh. However, the Shmuel v'Adei Lestai Pircha, Shmuel's Zrasha, the Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu l'mal mash Kiblu l'mato, there's no question you can ask on that. Shmuel, therefore, seems to be the winner here. So Amar Ravina, Ravina says, "Hainu dami inchi." This is what people would normally say. Tava chada pilpasa harifta mimali tzani. That one very sharp pepper will affect an entire basket full of what's tzani mean?
Melon.
Okay, so one pepper could ruin a whole thing of melon, or you could taste it.
Duluim.
Melon. Duluim could also be gourd, I think, or pumpkin, something like that. So Kari of Yosef, Rav Yosef said. Amar Rehacha, he brought a different pasuk. V'imei Apurim ha'ila lo yavor mitoch ha'yudim. The days of Purim will never pass from the Yehudim. Well, how do they know? How do they know there won't be a time of history where the Yehudim won't be keeping Purim? So it must be that it was written Beruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak omer mehacha v'zichem lo yosef mizarim, and the memory of Purim and the defeat of Amalek, or Haman at least, will not cease from the children of the Yehudim. This too was a nevuah indicating Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Okay. So the Gemara says, by the way, I know there's a, you ever see those Torah codes? Many years ago you see those Torah codes. So one of the Torah codes, they say after the Aseres Ben Haman are hanged, so then it says again, Achashverosh says, or Melch says, do you want anything else? He says, yeah, I want you to hang the 10 sons of Haman. So it's, no one really talks about that, but what do you mean? They already hang. We're asking for it again. Torah codes explain the Santa Haman referred to the 10 Nazis that were hanged shortly after the Holocaust. And they bring like psukim and letters and words indicating the exact details of the of that court case. So that's perhaps another indication of the Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. Okay, the Gemara down the bottom says, Matanos Lev Yonim. Tani Rav Yosef, who Mishloch Manos Ish Lev Re'ehu, says the Pasuk, you send gifts to another person. Shtei Manos Leish Echad, two Manos, and Ish Lev Re'ehu is one. So two gifts to one person. You have to have two different items. I know it's a big misconception. People normally think you need two brachas. You need, say, a shakal and a mezonos, or a guff and a mezonos, whatever two brachas you're going to pick, which is not true. You need two different minim. You could send over a bottle of water and some jellyfish or something. Two shakals you could send. It has to be two manos only, not two brachas. Umatanos avyonim, presents to multiple avyonim, poor people. Avyonim refer to people who are very impoverished. Much an ani is a person who doesn't have so much, and Evyon is really a person who's very, very much, very, very poor. So shtei manos l'shnei bnei adam, you have to send two gifts to two different people, which ends up being a one-to-one. You have to send it twice. A dollar to one person, and a dollar to another Evyon. That's the basic drushes of this. Now the Ron explains what's the difference of Shalach Manos versus Matanos Avyonim. So he says, since Shalach Manos is meant to be sent to a richer person, so you're supposed to say something more, send something more significant, that's why you need two Manos. To an Avyon is simply to an Avyon, so it's enough to send just one gift. That's the basic explanation. So then the Gemara last line says, Rav Yehuda Nishiya, Shadar Leila Rabbi Yoshaya, Atama de Igla Tlasa, he sent over to him a calf that was third born. Calf apparently was a very big delicacy. The third-born calf, he sent that the garva de chamra and a bottle of nice wine. He sent so shalach lei. So Rabbi Shai sends back to Yehuda Nasiya that kayamta bino banu rabenu mishloach manos. You have been mekayim two different mitzvahs all in one. You're mekayim the mitzvah of shalach manos and you're mekayim the mitzvah of matanos levyonim because Rabbi Shai apparently was an evyon. So two mitzvahs were accomplished. Now it's not so clear. Because look at the there's a bunch of notes here. There's a Bach and there's a Grub. They take out the words Matanos Levyonim. So it could be a couple reasons why Matanos Levyonim were left out. First of all, simple reason is because how does he know that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sent to another Evyon? You only Mekayim Matanos Levyonim if you send to two different Evyonim. This is only one. So maybe that's the reason why it was left out. Another reason why it may have been left out is because there's a concept of Ein Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas. You can't lump together two different mitzvahs here. I can't use one, kill two birds with one stone. So how can you send one present and be mekayim two mitzvahs? You have to pick which mitzvah you're going to be mekayim. That could be the other factor that's playing out here in this different yourselves. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabba Shadrle Meri Bar Mar. Rabba sent off to Meri Bar, through the hand be out of Bai. Bai was his messenger. It says as follows, he sent him a Mali Taska de Kashva, a basket full of dates, Umali Kasa Kamcha Davshuna, and some like honey roasted flour or something. So Amr Le Abai, so Abai, before sending it off to Mari Bar Mar, he says to Rabba, Hashta Amr Mari, Mari's going to say, Ichak Lamalka Leve Dikula Mitzavar Lo Nachis. So what does this line mean exactly? So Rashi explains, look at the first narrow line of Rashi, Ichak Lamalka Leve Dikula Mitzavar Lo Nachis. Rashi explains, Hasal Shaya Ragil Holich Beodenu Ben Kfar. The basket that you, Rabba, used to send when you're a regular person living in the village, a small little place, Umachal Vehemto, so, and you used to feed your animals such a food, Lo Yorid Ata Mirosho, you should not now send, Kach Ata Nasis Melech Verosh, now that you've become king, you're the head of Pumbadisa, Vein Chashalach Lo Ela Dvar Mamitsun Lechlal. You should send something more chashiv, not just a regular basket. Rabba is a chashiv Rosh Hashiva now. You can't just be sending these small, dinky shalach manos baskets. So then he said, okay, fine, I grant you that. Good point, Abaye. So then Rabba says, Shadalai iu mali taska de zangbila. He sent zangbila. What's that, ginger?
Yeah.
Okay, ginger.
Zangibil, yeah.
Right, so I never, ginger is such a delicacy, I guess. Isn't ginger what they like give with sushi that is like pink strips?
It looks like
right, I thought that's simply to clean your palate in between sushi. I didn't know it was like a whole delicacy to eat. But okay. So, umalit kasa de pilpulasa, a basket full of pepper. Aricha, long pepper, no less. Okay, some nice spicy foods. So, amr baye, hash amr mar. So now baye says, now mar is going to say, anna shadu lechulia, vyu shadu lechurfa. Amar is going to say, I send them all these sweets. I send them candies. I send them nuts. I send them chocolate. And you send me all these spicy things. What kind of Shalach Maros is that? So Amar Abai, kinafik mi beimar, have a shavat and savana. Okay, so I think Abai went anyways and he sent it off. So now when Abai, when he left the house of Mar, he was full. Now, Mar, I think, refers to when he left the house of Rabbah. He was very full. He ate his meal. He ate his sudas perm, I guess. And he's going off to bring the basket of Shalach Maros to Maribar. Mar, kimat el hasam, when he got there, krivili shisim tsai, he brought to me 60 plates of food. The shisim meaning they are 60 different types of food. Vachli b'hu shisim plogi, I ate 60 parts of it, 16 pieces. Ubishula basrayu, basraisa, havu, and basraisu, and I ate pot roast. So we roasted something in a pot without any water. So I ate a lot there. Even though he was so full, when he left Rabbah's house, he ate more, really almost overindulging here on the day of Purim. And Rashi explains here, I wanted to turn over the food. Rashi says, I wanted to chew the plate even. So that Gemara says, Amar Baye, Hainu Damir Inchi, this is what people would say, Kafin Ani of Loyada. So, what does that line mean in English?
See? A poor person does not know when he's hungry.
Uh-huh. So he can't control himself. So Bai apparently was poor and he was eating a lot of food and he didn't know how to control himself, I guess. So, Inami, Rav Chalavasime Shchiach, or there's always room for dessert. Rashi looks at Rav Chalavasime Shchiach, Revach Matzoy the Dover Hamasik Besochamayim. There's always space for some dessert afterwards. So Bai, even after eating a ton of food, he's still a little bit hungry for a little bit of dessert at the end. I know my wife and I, we go out for dinner, so we say, okay, we're not going to get dessert. We'll get an appetizer, we'll have a main, and that's it. Comes out, and you're full, you're ready, and you're like, we can't not have the chocolate and molten chocolate cake after that. There's always some room, even though you're stuffed, you always need a little sweet afterwards. So that's what they hear from the Gemara. That's the statement that Abaye says.
Some sophists, this is all an allegory.
Oh, yeah.
When he left Rabbi, he thought he was full of Torah.
Uh-huh.
Then when he got to Mari's house, then they discussed a topic from each of the 60 mesectas, the Shas. And so then he realized there was room for more.
Said me, my world of Gashmias, I took it to mean literally, but really, Chassam Sofer, this is a very deep, Pnimius Gemara here. Okay, very interesting. Is that the Chassam Sofer? Where does he write that? In the Chidushim on Megillah, I guess? He has a Chidushim here? Does it say?
So
they
just said the name. Who
wrote it? Okay. I've learned this many times. I never knew that Chassam Sofer. That's a great Chassam Sofer. And I guess that's the sweets. What do the sweets refer to afterwards? He wanted to learn more and more, I guess. Maybe the deeper sodos of the Torah. Okay. So Gemara now says a famous story. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Sorry, I skipped a line here. Abai Bar Avin. Rabbi Chanina Bar Abin, I guess they were seemingly brothers. Mechalfas who decided l'hadada, they would share meals. I guess each Purim they would take places. Rashi explains Mechalfas who decided ze ochel im ze b'Purim shel shana zu u'b'shnei soed b'chaveir imo. 1 year he would eat by me, and then the next year we'd eat by him. They would switch off. The Gemara doesn't explain why exactly they do this, but this would be a way. I think the Mefarshim explained this is a way of being mekayim shalach manos, because shalach manos. Big Machlokas Shach Malos was meant to increase Reyes, or it's meant to be help a person with the Suda. So when you have, I invite a guy over to my house, I actually give him my Suda to feed him. There's no greater Shach Malos than that. Now, they bring a Raya from here as well. And this idea of switching Sudas is about being a Kima Shach Malos. The Mishnah Berurah discusses based on a Chuvos Binyan Sina, I think it is, who has a suffix. Do you actually have to send Shalach Manos to somebody? Do you have to send it off? When I send Shalach Manos to my friend, do I need a messenger? Or can I bring it myself? Or can I invite him to my house without even sending it? That's a suffix the Mishnah Berurah has. So in the yeshivas, they're all makbid to like appoint their like roommate to you send it to the other guy. So we've been kind of that mitzvah of shlichus. So some are makbid on that. But according to this Gemara, which says, I used to invite Rav Avin to my house, sounds like there's no din of shlichus at all. So that's a raya that they bring from this Gemara. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Mechayv Inish Levesume Bepuria ad dilo yadar. Bein arhamin levarach Mordechai, again, a very well-known statement of the Gemara, that person is obligated to get drunk until he does not know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. A lot of explanations, what exactly, why that shir, is that the shir when you get to that point, or right before you get to the point, is it about gematrias? What exactly is the point there? But what's interesting here is the Lashon Levesumim. What does Lashon Levesumim mean? We always interpret it mean to drink. So Rashi says, Levesumim means leshtakir b'yayim. To Rashi, there's a dik they make from Rashi, dafka b'yayim. You can only use wine. You can't use any schnapps. It has to be dafka wine, Rashi says. Why wine? Because they explain, the reason why we have wine is because the whole nace happened through the wine of the Esther giving wine to Haman and Achashverosh. So dafka wine works, not anything else. But what's the word lafsumim mean? If I ask you what lafsumim means, what do you think it means? Running out of time, so I don't have so much time to explain.
Doesn't that mean, like, smell?
Exactly. So I never saw anybody say this. So some people say lafsume means, like, lafsume also, like, mar above, it means to amplify. Lafsume kal, you find sometimes also. To amplify, it means do a lot of whatever we're talking about. So do a lot of drinking, do a lot of songs, do a lot of music. I think, like Adam's saying, lafsume is lashon besamim, lashon of smell. And if that's the case, there's a lot of connections of smell and Purim. The Bnei Yisachar explains that each of the months are corresponding to different parts of the body, others connected to the sense of smell. Mordechai is Mordachia. Mordechai is hinted in the words Besamim Rosh. One of the Besamim, Mordechai is hinted in them. Esther is Hadassah. Hadassah is the one that smells very nicely. So there's a lot of connections between the smell and Purim. We'll leave it at that for now, but there's a strong correlation. So I agree with Adam about that as well.
It just says that it's possible that it's Ad Delo Ad Bichlal, meaning Ad Shelo Yada, meaning he doesn't have to add, he has to stop right before
exactly.
Lo Yada.
That's how some explain that, right.
It's interesting.
So not quite as drunk as people think he's supposed to be getting. Right. So, okay, so then the Gemara says the famous story, Rabbah, Rabbi Zeir, of Dusu, that's Purim, Bahadeh Hadadeh, they used to also switch meals with each other. You see, this is a heter for having a couple's meals together. It's possible that they also had a separate seating, who knows. So the Gemara says that Ibsum, so they got drunk, and Kam Rabbah shachted the Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbah got up and he shachted Rabbi Zeira. So, well, Machar, Bay Rachmi Vachli, the next day he woke up and said, you know, I bring this guy back to life, I just killed him. So the Shana the next year, Samrlay, Rabbah says, Nisimar, Vinavid Sudas Purim, Bahadi Hadade, now it's my turn to have you over at my house. Come over to my house for Purim. He says, what are you, crazy? Amrlay, Lobachol Shait Vishait Misach Shanisa, we can't expect to rely on an ace every single year. So in light of this Gemara, the Rabbeinu Ephraim brought down in the Baal Mor in the back of the Gemara says, we see a person is not supposed to get drunk. This is the Rabbeinu Ephraim, everyone pulls out, all the poskim, I shouldn't say that. The poskim who really care about the Talmidim say, person should not get drunk on Purim, because look what happened here in the Gemara, we poskim not to get drunk. Many other Mepharshim say that was an isolated incident, or that Rabbah didn't actually kill him, he hurt him, or it means something, I'm sure, more penibisidic, what exactly took place there. I would say this is not a raya, a person should still get drunk to the point of Adel Yada.
Here it says the word Rabbah lachatz et Rabbi Zeira lishtot yoter midai ad shechalam meod venatal
amut. Right.
He pushed him to drink so much that he almost died.
Right. So it was the drinking. What didn't actually kill him. Okay. So there's an interesting discussion. Wow, we're really running out of time. There's so much good stuff to say here. Gave him a little funnel and poured it down his throat. So one interesting discussion they have here, just when Reb Zeira was brought back to life, if you take this Gemara seriously, did he have to remarry his wife? That's a discussion they have. So it depends on how you understand death. Is death about a Maisa Misa? Is it about not being there anymore? And the Trumas Hadesh in a similar vein has, what about Eliyahu Navi? Eliyahu Navi never died. He just kind of disappeared. He went invisible. So they say, does his wife have to get a get? Or is his wife considered still married or not married? He never died. He just disappeared. So if you're going to say Trumas Hadesh wrote a bunch of tshuvas to himself, he only asks Halach Lamaisa questions. So he's like, why am I writing a tshuva about this? It's possible a person could get to such a level as Eliyahu Navi. Apparently, Rabbi Shuben Levi also disappeared. He never died. So if a person gets to such a level, what's the status of his wife? Is his wife considered Eishes Re'ehu still? Or no, she's considered single now that he's vanished. So similar discussion as to here. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rava, Sudas Purim Sheachal Belailo Yotzei Dechavasa. Person who eats his suda at night time when Purim is not Yotzei's mitzvah. My time, what's the reasoning? Yimei Mishtav Asimcha Ksiv. Yimei during the daytime. Rivash Yav Yosef Kame Dirav Kana Nogu Lasser Banam. Purim was sitting at his table. I guess he's waiting for some Tamidim to come and learn. Give a shir. No one can. Why the Chachamim not coming to me? Maybe they're busy having the suda. Summer lights. Rav Kana says, with all due respect, they can't eat at night time. There's no mitzvah to eat the suda at night time. Don't you know that there's the statement that Rava says, we're not yotz the mitzvah b'layla? So there's no Indian to eat at nighttime, so they can't be involved in the suda. So he says, the whole back and forth is a little bit confusing about the different gersos here. Amalei in, so yes, that's the true halacha. So tani minei arban zimnan v'dami le kaman demarach b'kisei. So he says, I'm not sure who's talking to at this point, it might be Rav Ashi saying to Rav Kana, that teach it to me, say it over to me 40 different times, so I'm going to be, you know, in my back pocket, I'll have it stored away, this way I'll remember, and therefore it's a good chazar process. So we see from here, you should learn things 40 times over to make sure that you're not going to forget it.
The whole thing was, this was Purim, so the Suda Swim at a regular time?
Yeah.
And they didn't come to the Beis HaMedrash after Purim, and then...
No, I think this is Leil, I think this is the night before, the night when Purim starts. Uh-huh. The first Megillah reading, and we break the fast. So we break the fast, but they, you know, we don't have, there's no real Suda, you just break your fast, don't wash, just have a little something and go learn then, or something, or go to Rav Ashi's house and talk and learning and sing. So,
I thought this was Purim Day, and
what
he was saying to him was, why couldn't they have eaten that night? In other words, they couldn't have eaten yet. Why couldn't have eaten last night instead of eating today?
So this Purim Day, they never came. I see. So Rashi says, Nagav lo asa rabbanan. Rashi says, Icha hayom, the day was getting late. Lo bala tamidon the Beis Medrash. So they didn't come to the Beis Medrash, so maybe they're involved in the Suda. And they said, no, but the Suda at nighttime. Said, no, they can't have the Suda at nighttime because the Suda, you can't have a Yotzeit. That's exactly what's going on. Okay. Okay, so then the new Mishnah says, a very famous Mishnah, this is the first of the many Ein Bains we're going to encounter. Ein Bains. What does the Mishnah tell us? That Ein Bain Yom Tov Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bavad. There's only one difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, that is, Yom Tov a person may do Ochel Nefesh, and Shabbos a person may not do Ochel Nefesh. So there, Tosos writes here, second Tosos down, he says, Ein Bain Yom Tov Shabbos, Tzarech Lomar Dehachi Perusho. Ein Shum Malacha Asur LeShabbos, Shlote Asur LeYom Tov El Ochel Nefesh Bavad. In regards to Malacha, there's only one difference, namely Ochel Nefesh. Aval Shar Chalukim Yesh Benem, but there are many other differences. Zeb Eskila Zeb Elav. Shabbos, Bechal Shabbos Eskila, Bechal Yom Tov is only Elav. So there are many differences. The Mishnah means to say the only Malacha, difference of Malacha, is in respect to Ochel Nefesh. Says the Gemara now, Hol Inin Machshir Ochel Nefesh Zeb Zeb Shavin, but with respect to the preparations of food, meaning preparing kalim, not the actual food, but kalim, that they're both equal, that you cannot do any machshir ochel nefesh even on Yom Tov. The Masnissen says, the Gemara, our Mishnah is delo, Rabbi Yehuda is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya says the Brice, ain bin Yom Tov l'Shabbos el ochel nefesh. The Tanakhama thinks the only difference is ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshir ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda permits you even to do preparing the kalim, not the food only, but even preparing kalim is permitted. You could sharpen the knife, you could fix a pot. My time in the Tanakhama. Why the Tanakhama limit it to food only, not machshir? Amakar, the pasuk says, who will machshir? It, for the food, ochel nefesh, who? Only food, not the preparations, not the things needed to prepare the food. Rabbi Huda, lachem, it says, lachem l'chol tzarchechem. No, it's supposed to be ochel nefesh is for you, for all your needs. Lav dafka food, but anything you need to prepare the food, even sharpening the knife. Ve'idach na'am yaksiv lachem. Doesn't the Tanakhama have the word lachem? What do they do with the word lachem? They say, Lachem doesn't teach me l'chol tzarcheim. Lachem means Lachem v'lo l'ov t'chachavim. Lachem v'lo l'klavim. You can make food for yourself, but you can't make food for your housekeeper. You can make food for yourself, but you can't make food for your dogs and your animals. That's what Lachem teaches us. V'itach nami yahok siv hu. What about the Rabbi Huda? What does he do with the word hu? Hu seems to limit something. Ksiv hu, uksiv Lachem. Kan v'machshirin she'ef sh'lasos me'er v'yamtiv. Kan v'machshirin she'ef sh'lasos me'er v'yamtiv. So it says, things that may be done erev Yom Tov, that you can't do on Yom Tov. Things that cannot be done erev Yom Tov, that may be done. So not all machshim are permitted according to Behuda, only ones that could not have been done erev Yom Tov. There's a very important Tosfos here. Tosfos writes, let's get to the bottom of the Gemara, and then we'll see if we have time for the Tosfos afterwards.
What's
the Pasuk on the side here says, Kol Malachol Yasul Vahem Ach Asher Yeachil L'Chol Nefesh Hu Levado Yasul Lachem. Chol Nefesh Hu It and nothing else. It can be done Lachem for all of you. So these two psukim, one who is limiting, Lachem is inclusive. So that's how they deal with it different ways. The second Ein Bains we're going to encounter is Ein Bain Shabbos LeYom Kippurim El Shezezi Donam B'Di Adam Zezi Donam B'Karis. That a person violates Shabbos gets B'Di Adam, meaning he gets Skila, Mrs. Bezdim. Person violates Yom Kippur, he gets karet only, not Mrs. Bezdin. Says the Gemara, Hal inyan tashlumim zev zeh shavin. But with respect to payment, they're both equal. Meaning, the concept of kimle b'derabi minei, when a person does he violates two avayers at the same time. He violates an iser chiyav misa and a chiyav mamon. So he has to pay, he's owed the death penalty, and he also has to pay money. The death penalty overrides the money, or perhaps it includes the punishment he gets in the money. So, for example, a person, let's say, on Shabbos, forget Shabbos, let's say even during the weekday, a person shoots an arrow at somebody, and in doing so rips the guy's shirt and kills the guy. Well, he gets ritzicha, he gets murder for murdering, but he also has to pay for the shirt he ripped. Exactly. Kim Levi the Rabbi, and he tells me that the punishment is going to override, the punishment of Misa is going to override the punishment of ripping the guy's shirt. So here too also, it sounds like with respect to money, if it's on Shabbos or if it's on Yom Kippur, if you get Misa at the same time of having a punishment of payment, the Misa is going to override the payment. The Gemara says, money, masnisin, who wrote our Mishnah? It must be the well-known opinion of Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana. If you learned the third parak of Exubis, you learn all about Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana. The Tanya, Rabbi Nechunah ben Akana, haya osa es yom ha-kippurim k'shabbos l'tashun. He equated Yom Kippur to Shabbos with respect to payment. Ma Shabbos mischai benafsho patim min l'tashumim. Just like a person who does the chil Shabbos, and the chiv Shabbos, the chiv Misa, is going to exempt him from any payment he did at the same time. So, for example, let's say on Shabbos Reuven went to someone's backyard and took off some apples from the guy's tree. So, in doing so, he stole from the guy, but he also did a violation of Ketir on Shabbos. So, he would not have to pay for the apple that he stole since he's Chai Misa. Af Yom HaKippurim, Mischai B'Nafsho Potim Natashum. Same thing on Yom Kippur, if he did the same thing, the Chiv Karis would exempt him from paying anything. Yeah, that's why it's such an interesting sheet, that there's a lot to be said about his opinion. So the Gemara says, Tznan Hassan, the Mishnah tells us, where is this a Mishnah? Makos, I think, right?
Yeah, Makos.
Okay, anybody who's chayv kares, if he gets lashes, though he's not supposed to, but if they give him lashes anyways, those Makos are going to exempt him from kares, which is a fascinating thing, that in Mises Bidei Shemaim, he's a chayv kares, and we down here can give him Makos, and that's going to exempt, get him off the hook from the kares from above. But either way, that's the halacha. Based on Shinema, the pasuk says, "V'nikla achecha leinecha," and you're supposed to whip your brother in your eyes. Kevin shalaka harihu keachecha. Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Once you whip him, he becomes your brother. He's no longer considered cut off. He's no longer considered chiyuv kares. That's according to Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan chalukin alav chaverav. So Rabbi Yochanan says your friends argue on you. Why? Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. How do we know this? Because Amar Rava. Amri Beirav, Tanina, the Mishnah, our Mishnah here tells us, Ein ben Yom HaKippurim l'Shabbos el shezezi donem b'dei adam, v'zezi donem b'dei hakaris. That the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Shabbos is b'dei adam, Yom Kippur is karis. Now, Vim Isa, if what you're saying is true, that a person could get off the hook with Malkos from karis, so in theory a person could get Malkos, a person could eat on Yom Kippur, or do a Mlach on Yom Kippur, and get Malkos, and he'll be off the hook. Isn't that b'dei adam? And the Gemara says, Vim Isa, if what you're saying is true, even Yom Kippur is Bidi Adam. Someone who's Chiv Karis can get Malkos, Bidi Adam, and that would be considered his full-fledged punishment. So it is also Bidi Adam, must be this Mishnah, who doesn't call Yom Kippur Bidi Adam, is against Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman answers, now, Hamani, who is the author of this Mishnah? Or not often, who is the opinion here? Rabbi Yitzhak Yid Amar, Malkos b'chayv krisis leka. Not everybody agrees that Malkos gets a person with karis off the hook. Rabbi Yitzhak apparently thinks that Malkos does not give a person off the hook. So therefore Yom Kippur is never considered b'di adam. How do we know? This is Tanya. Rabbi Yitzhak Omer, chayav krisis b'chlal hayu, lama yatsa karis b'achosa, lidonak b'karis v'lo b'malkos. When it comes to all these different arayos, many of the arayos, a person gets karis for violating any of the arayos. So why do they specify the case of Achoso, his sister, as arayos? We know already, all arayos get karis. Anybody who doesn't get a chiyuv mises bezin because there's no hasra, or because there are no eidim, whatever it might be, person gets karis. So why then the pasuk in Achim Osa Kedoshim, I don't remember which one it is, specify, it says both, it says the arayos in both as partials. I'm not sure which pasuk this is from, though. That's the end of Achrimos. That's the last of Achrimos. But it also specifies by Achos in particular, though. Where's that one? So I'm not sure which one that is. So I think that sounds like Kedoshim. Okay, so either way, so why does it specify Achoso, that she gets Karis? To tell me that she only gets Karis and she does not get malchus. And even if she does get malchus, or he whoever violates the aver with his sister, he doesn't get malchus. And if he does get malchus, it won't affect him. He's still going to get karis. Karis is the only punishment that you get. Malchus does not exempt you. So that's how we see our mishnah, which says that Yom Kippur is only karis because it's never bidei adam. But then the last line of the Gemara tells us, Rav Ashi Amar, Afil Tema Rabbanim, Ze Iker Zedunim B'di Adam, Ze Iker Zedunim B'Karis. No, you're right. Even the opinion of Rabbi Chananya can be in accordance with our Mishnah. And yes, it's possible that a person who violated Yom Kippur could get Lat Malkos, could get B'di Adam, and be off the hook. But B'Iker, the real primary punishment is a Hakkaris. And this is only a kind of a way out, backwards way out of Karis. But B'Iker, the Iker punishment is really B'day Karis and not B'day Adam.
So what's the Raya that it cannot be, that Karis cannot be again?